War Room Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
Want to go now to Georgia, where the working class folks down there are standing up for their rights and to defeat the globalists. John Fredericks of the John Fredericks Radio Network joins us. John, we just broke news, I guess, just announced there's going to be a hand recount. Is that because John Fredericks, now you're in your 70, you're down there for 3 days, you've caused nothing but havoc, right? You're turning things upside down there. I want to address what's going on, and also Lynn Wood, the great lawyer who's down there, I guess, in charge of the legal, tweeted out today that we should just hold fast. We're going to have a massive landslide throughout the country. Can you explain what's going on? What about the hand count, and what's Lynn Wood up to?
Well, Lynn Wood is here in Georgia with us. I had a litany of people on today from Georgia, Steve. It's all good news, and basically there's just a lot of fight left in everyone here. And yeah, I've been here 72 hours. Just the threat of the level of transparency that our radio show and the Steve Bannon show, War Room, is bringing here. The Georgia Star that we're launching on the 18th already got written up in the Atlanta Journal. I mean, people know now they can't fake this and they can't hide it. So basically, what the Secretary of State said today is they acquiesced to Doug Collins. Doug Collins is on my show today, and he said, look, we want a hand count of every vote in every county in Georgia. It's going to take about 3 weeks. Got to get this done prior to December 6th. Should be done by November 25th, sometime after Thanksgiving. But he said every vote is going to get counted. Every vote is going to get matched. Every vote is going to have to be scrutinized. And there's a lot of irregularities here, Steve, in Georgia, which is why those that are in the know are very confident that when it's said and done, Donald Trump is going to carry the 16 electoral votes in Georgia. So we started with Ray Smith today, who's part of Lynn Wood's team. He's the lead attorney in Georgia of the Trump legal team. And they're filing suit today, along with seven other states, on what they called a two-tier system, which is unconstitutional, which is basically there was one set of voting rules for those that voted early and showed up on game day, and a completely another set of rules for those that mailed in their ballots. No signature, no address verification, no ID, no nothing. And so that's going to get filed today. But a lot of fight in Doug Collins. He said, look, we're going to fight. We have to fight. He said, at the end of the day, this is about not standing down. We have to fight this. And when it's said and done, he believes that Trump is going to get over the top here in Georgia. A lot of votes are going to be disqualified. The voting irregularities in Georgia are off the charts, and they're going to bring sunlight to it during this. There's going to be a hand recount. So there's going to be poll watchers there and lawyers. Every single ballot is going to be hand counted and matched. Now, there's thousands. We also had David Schaefer on today, who is the chairman of the Republican Party of Georgia, who said there are thousands of ballots where people are registered in other states other than Georgia. He said thousands. Somewhere, he said over 5, under 10, maybe 8, but these are all going to get thrown out. You can't be registered in two states and vote in Georgia. That's illegal. So those are getting thrown out. I mean, it goes on and on and on here, Steve. Also, the chairman of the Republican Party, David Schaefer of Georgia, said that the Facebook posts, the Yang Gang and other Democratic operatives who are saying, hey, come to Georgia, stay for 2 days, play golf, vote, go back, those are being turned over to the Department of Justice. And because that's illegal. I mean, you can't be promoting that. It's one thing to come to Georgia and say, I've moved here, this is where I plan to stay, and then vote in the runoff. It's another thing to advertise and encourage fraud. That's what Andrew Yang did. That's what the Yang Gang did. And but the way it works here is that on December 6th, the vote doesn't go to the General Assembly. It goes to the Secretary of State, and he has to certify it. But it also has to be certified by the governor. Now, this is unlike other states, not just the Secretary of State. So Brian Kemp would have to certify these 16 electors, the governor of Georgia, Steve, along with
Brian Kemp.
Brian,
this guy doesn't exist unless Donald Trump's down there campaigning for him. Where in the heck is he? But all this stuff you tell me, John, my head's blown up. Our audience is on fire. But I had a lieutenant governor look camera ready, look like a male model, shows up yesterday on one of the networks and says, nothing happened here. It's all 100% fine. We're just going to put this to bed. Last time I looked, I thought he was a Republican. What is going on down there?
That was Jeff Duncan. And so you have a party split right now. You have Brad Raffensperger, who's the Secretary of State, that just wants this whole thing to go away, certify the vote for Biden and go home. You've got Jeff Duncan, who's a lieutenant governor, basically backing Raffensperger. But then you've got the biggest pit bull in America. You got Doug Collins on this thing. And I had Doug Collins on my show for a half hour today, and he's full of fire and brimstone. This is the guy that defended Trump's impeachment. He said, I'm just going to keep fighting. I don't really care what they say. They're going to have to count these ballots, and they're going to have to count them one by one, hand by hand. That got done today. But look, that's what the split is in the Republican Party. Even today I had on Speaker of the House Pro Tem Jan Jones. Basically has been a firebrand conservative. Doesn't want to do a special session. Doesn't want any challenges. You know, says, let's just go through the system. Everything is going to be fine. Georgia did a good job. Right after her, I get Doug Collins on, who blasts the whole thing. So the Republican Party in Georgia split by those that want status quo and those that want a change or want to fight for the 71 million people that voted for Trump and feel this election has been stolen from them.
So, John, we gotta sell some commercials for you and make sure capitalism works. Just in 30 seconds.
I love my commercials.
No, you're the best, dude. If you can sell this show, you can sell anything.
Exactly.
Where do you think this is heading in Georgia right now? Is the recount going to start before these federal lawsuits? Are they going to put everything to, you know, are they going to put a freeze on everything, or is going to a certification fight? In 30 seconds, just give us the big picture.
Recount starts now. They want to get it done by November 20th. That's their goal. But here's the caveat. At the end, by the time you get to December 6th, I either believe Trump is going to be certified as the winner, or it's still going to be up in the air and in doubt. The bottom line is Governor Brian Kemp, who would not be governor without Donald J. Trump, is going to have to certify these electors himself. I don't think that's going to happen. Georgia's 16,
John,
going to Trump.
We got a bolt. See you. Very quickly, because I've got to get to our guest. He's pressed for time, but I'm going to address later a recount versus the runoff in Georgia. A recount is the recounting of the presidential vote. It may affect Perdue's race, but the new races, the Senate races, are two Senate races that are going to take place in January because they didn't get over 50%. That may change actually in a recount. But the recount, and also in the recount, there's another thing. The federal lawsuits are to throw out these ballots and make sure it can't be certified. You either win on the vote or it just can't get certified. Complex, but action's being taken. We're going to explain it all here in the next segment. Raheem, because we've got a guest that's pressed for time, you want to take this?
Yeah, sure. We want to bring in now Wilson Powell, one of our contributors of late at the National Pulse, who's been crunching a lot of this data. Wilson, thank you for joining us here on the show this morning. Wilson, in effect, I want to hand it over to you and let you walk our audience through some of the things you're finding, some of the things you're seeing, and if the guys in Denver can keep up with the charts and the graphs to put those up on screen, we'll take it away. I want to hand it over to you, Wilson.
And basically, I woke up on election morning and I saw some of these graphs being circulated by 538, ABC News, and Edison Research, real-time data that was being reported to news sites. So my background is in algorithmic trading. I've spent hundreds of hours basically building trading algorithms to use in the stock market. And this immediately, to me, looked like it was a broken algorithm to some degree. And basically, what I did was I built a model that simulates an election if it's fair and random, and a statistical jump like this is just completely abnormal compared to the rest of the curve. And I think ABC News and 538 have some interesting questions to answer surrounding the data that they reported.
All right, so tell us what stood out for you, because there's a lot of people who are poo-pooing the idea that anything funny could have gone on here, saying, no, look, what happened, and it couldn't have happened any other way, given the nature of this election, how the ballots were due to be counted in the middle of the night. Anderson Cooper and all these guys, Jake Tapper, making the case, Wilson, that of course you would have a magic, and I know Steve doesn't like the word magic, but they'll say the word magic, 300,000 appear when most Republican count have gone home in the middle of the night. But you're seeing these, you've got a couple of graphs that you've put together here, and just walk us through them.
Sure. So the first thing I would say is the time frames for when this occurred seems to be between the hours of 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. after the election, after the day of the election. And basically, I think these graphs show that there is some statistically anomalous behavior that occurs in the same time window that there are eyewitness accounts in Michigan, for example, of 130,000 ballots winding up for Joe Biden. So just the probability of 130,000 ballots all being for Joe Biden back to back is very small. And I pulled some of the data off of the website for Edison Research. And basically what it shows is there was ballots dumped in the same time frame that eyewitness accounts are suggesting in the counties. In the same time frame that's on this graph.
So you can see that one in Michigan. You see a similar thing in Wisconsin. Of course, we saw a similar one in Pennsylvania as well. So where does your research take you from here, given that you've gone through this? I know you've gone through a lot of the data in terms of the minute-by-minute data as far as we had received it from the campaign and from the state secretaries of these individual states. Where does the research go from here? Because when I look at these things, and somebody made the point to me the other day, and I think it was a very compelling point, it's interesting how you get a direct increase in, as you say, those hundreds of thousands of Biden votes across the country, which all come in the same time frame, in the middle of the night. It's a direct line up. People are familiar now with the meme that's going around, right? The fraud meme that's going around, which makes it look like a complete step. But it's interesting as well that after that occurs, the Biden vote, what it does is it just tries to stay about 1% above the Trump vote in all of these places. It doesn't actually have any more upward trajectory. What does that tell us?
So the graph that's on the screen now, basically what I did was I built a back-solving algorithm that essentially calculates how many votes you'll need to swing the election. So it tries to solve for how far behind Biden is and how many votes you would need to produce for Biden in order for Biden to win the election. So this algorithm, basically in this model, shows that you actually can calculate the number of votes that you would need to sway the election if you wanted to, with bad intentions, I would say. And a lot of the fraud seems to coordinate with this and seems basically succinct, and it looks like this is what's going on. So comparing all three of those graphs together, like I said, this immediately looked like a broken algorithm on the news feeds and the live data sites. And that's really what encouraged me to build this model and show how statistically unlikely it is, number one, and then number two, how you could potentially come up with some number of votes that you would need in order for Biden to win the election, even if Trump is currently ahead and should be ahead, when lawful votes are the only ones taken into account.
Okay, so how do we get into discovery to get back at the analytics? Is it through these federal court filings? Is it through these lawsuits? How do we actually go in and start to tie together ballots and all these Biden votes with nothing else that then can tie back to your model that can then be used as evidence as we go through the federal court system and argue this up to the Supreme Court, because it's going to the Supreme Court?
Sure. So one of my main focuses, I think this is decent evidence for systemic fraud in multiple states. And I think it also makes sense with some of the vote counting machines that got changed overnight as well. So, I mean, this very well could be a systemic issue, I believe. So basically from here, what we did was we pulled live data off of the websites that was being reported in real time. So I have some of this data for Michigan and Wisconsin and looked at that. But I think what we really need is a live data feed of votes being pulled in from each state and hopefully each county or precinct as well in live time. And then similar analysis to this could be done on that.
Precinct level. Okay. Wilson, we know you got a bouncer. Look forward to having you back on the afternoon and other shows. We're going to drill down on this. He's a now contributor at the National Pulse. Wilson Powell, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you all.
And we've done a lot of analytics in back of this, and we're pushing this all forward. This is the next phase of this in your face of the media. I want to turn now. I want to go to Arizona. We got another time thing. Boris Epstein is joining us. I want to make an announcement. Boris is going to be the top of the show on the Bill Maher show this week. No small measure to his star turns he's taken on War Room Pandemic. Boris, give us a quick update. And I understand you got a hard out at 11:30. Give us a quick update on where we stand in Arizona with voting, counting the votes.
Steve, good to be with you, and thanks for the plug, my man. As always, appreciate it. And it'll be fun with Bill, my third time on with Bill Maher on Friday. So here's where we are in Arizona. We are down about 12,800 votes, 12,800 as of the moment that Fox News wrongfully called this race for Joe Biden. Joe Biden led by 200,000 votes, so just about over 5% remains, 6% remains of that lead. It's tiny, and we have about 60,000 votes left to go. Most of those votes, we believe, are coming out of Election Day. They may be duplicates, meaning votes that were damaged that have to be duplicated to be counted. They may be provisional ballots, which are ballots where folks got a mail-in but went to vote, and then that vote counted as provisional in person. But we are confident that once we get through these last numbers, which are going to be coming out throughout the day today, I believe with a lot of vigor, I think we're going to see a lot of numbers today. The President Trump will end up overtaking Joe Biden and winning Arizona and its 11 electoral votes.
So you believe, as you're sitting out there, you actually think that we can carve back that over 12,000 and get to a victory no matter how tight in Arizona?
I do, because here's what I'm seeing. There's about a 12,800 deficit. I believe that there are up to 10,600 duplicates, and my understanding is we may win as many as 80-20 of those. That's 6,300 votes to us. You cut that 12.8 in half. In Maricopa, there are about 18,000 votes. We can get 56% of that. That's 3,600. In Pima, there are about 12,000 votes. We've been going 55-45 on that. That's another 1,200. And then there's cured ballots out there that are our ballots. We believe they're up to 4,000. Say they're only 2,000. What the math I just did, and now I did it quickly. There's 12.8 thousand deficit. 6,300 plus 3,600 plus 1,200 plus 2,000 is 13,100, and that would give us about a 300 vote win in the state of Arizona. Very tight, no doubt about it. Very close. But here's one fact I know for sure: calling this race over a week ago was a travesty by Fox News and by the AP.
Boris, I want to thank you. We'll check in with you in the afternoon show to get an update as the vote comes out through the day. You know it's got to be good news for President Trump. That's where they're bleeding it out. If this was for Biden, it would have been spiked. They'd have spiked it last week. That's where they're triple checking. I know there's going to be a hand recount, I think, even in Maricopa County, maybe throughout the state. Boris, thank you very much. Look forward to having you back on this afternoon to update us on this. Right now, we got two situations. People are telling us in the room we're going to win Georgia on a hand recount. It looks like you're going to be tight to maybe squeak out a victory for President Trump. This thing is far from over. We got major lawsuits. You got the analytics guys. This is all about closing. We won on November 3rd, and we're going to close. And I don't care if they say that's fake news. They can say anything they want. Every day, we build up a bigger evidentiary pattern. Every day, we build up more fight on more fronts. You've got court in state court. You're in federal court. You've got more witnesses coming forward. And remember, if you show bravery, what did Churchill say? The most important of all virtues is courage. Because upon courage, all the other virtues rest. You show courage here, people are going to start coming out. Look at the heroes in Detroit. Those people in Detroit work for a Democratic government. They're a Democrat government. They're coming out. Look at the postal worker. We're going to play the Veritas thing. They got federal agents in their federal postal authority. Same guys grousing Steve Bannon, right? The FBI wouldn't take it up. Maybe we shouldn't fire Ray because of that. But you got these guys bracing this poor brother up, right? To try to get him. You've got Veritas is there, James O'Keefe. They're muscling people. Mm-hmm. They play smash mouth. You know, we play, it's ridiculous. We're at a garden party having tea. This is not about a search for truth. This is about the will to power. You either have it or you don't. Be back in a moment. President Trump, and I think it was First Lady Melania, we're at Arlington National Cemetery at the Tomb of the Unknown. for Veterans Day. And Jack, you have something that you want to add here?
Well, you remember Reagan spoke about this young man at his first inauguration. It's always been quite an inspiration for me. And apparently it was a great inspiration for his battalion members, too, because they all copied this same pledge in their own Bibles afterwards. Martin Treptow, a young man from Wisconsin, left his job working in a barbershop, went to the Western Front, and he was killed in July of 1918, the year that peace came about. And inside the front cover of his diary, he wrote, "My pledge. America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended upon me alone." People, that's the American spirit. That's what we want you to have, your chins up, your chests out, because this fight is not over and it's not in our DNA to give up.
And it depends on you. Each and every fight. And I don't want to hear any more whining. I don't want to hear any more, no more pats on the head, no more pearl clutching, okay? This is a fight. We're either going to win this or we're not, or we're going to lose. We're going to give up a great victory, and that's going to tell the world everything they want to know about people in the United States of America, okay? This is for, as the amazing interview they had in Phoenix the other day, the woman who was deplorable. She said, this is not about Donald Trump. This is bigger than Trump. This is bigger than the Trump movement. This is bigger than the deplorables. This is about the nation itself, the Constitution, our republic, and our country. And if you don't want to fight, don't come here, right? We don't mind the hedge fund guys, the guys who don't want to come for the information, or the news producers, or the Madeline Peltzes of the world. That's fine. We love that. Just come. Bring that. But if you're... What did Christ say? If you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth, right? We don't want the lukewarm. We want you, you're either in or you're out. And you're going to have to look in the mirror every day, because we won and we can close on this victory from Georgia, from Arizona, from Pennsylvania, from Michigan, from Nevada, and from Wisconsin. Okay? We can have the same exact victory we had in 2016. Maggie, you've got some updates on the rally. People are now starting to come around. I want President Trump to go on the road and take this fight out to the hustings, take it out to the people, and give them a partner's update. We're going to start this Saturday here. Amy Kramer and Brandon Strock are going to be in the show, in the afternoon show, to talk in more detail. They're helping coordinate it and start. Amy was one of the founders of the Tea Party movement. Brandon is the founder of the, I guess, Walk Away, which has been tremendous. What, Maggie, what, we have updates on this parade, on the rally?
Yeah, and also that was beautiful. That brought a tear to my eye, and that is the spirit of this movement. And, I mean, that really touched my heart. The March for Trump is going to be this Saturday in Washington, D.C. It's starting at high noon at Freedom Plaza, which is just a few blocks from the White House. When you go to their website, they have a big pop-up now that says, contrary to misinformation campaigns from big tech and the mainstream media, the March for Trump is on. And Amy Kramer is going to be coming on later today at the afternoon show to be talking
Eventbrite actually sent emails out. This is how bunch the oligarchs are against you. They sent emails out, said it was canceled by the organizers. A bald-faced lie. Just like a bald-faced lie is the brave union postal worker up in Erie who the federal agents got to come in and hassle, and they say he recants it. No, he didn't recant anything. This is muscle. They're trying to bring muscle to crush you, right? They're trying to bring muscle to crush you, whether it's the parade to take you down. They want to make everything harder.
The best part about the guy in Erie, though, is he wore a wire. We keep saying we've got the receipts for Hunter Biden. We've got the wire transfers. This guy didn't trust the postal inspectors any more than the guy who found the hard drive trusted the FBI. So apparently he wore a wire when they went in there to try and convince him that his memory was not what his memory was.
That's interesting, though, about the Eventbrite stuff and did this as an example. It's not like they haven't told us all along how they plan to do this. Just that not enough people on our side took it seriously. You know, no offense to the president's approach to this, but it simply wasn't good enough. You know, having a social media summit and having all the influencers there to listen to Diamond and Silk talk about how they got taken off Facebook, there's not action. That's happy talk. And so when Eventbrite sends a thing out and says, "Hey, this event is canceled," oh, yeah, they've told us for a long time they were going to cancel every single thing we did. They're not canceling an event. They're canceling us, okay? Right.
I warned not to play footsie with these guys.
Right.
I'm adamant to turn them into public utilities. So, hey, Jack Dorsey, he took the Twitter account down because he didn't like me saying constantly, you should be in jail. You should be in jail as a national security threat. Okay. And Jack Maxey putting out hundreds of documents to show the compromise of Biden. Biden has been compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. We have the receipts and we put them out every day. Dozens and dozens a day. And we're going to put them back out. You're not going to shut us up. You think you're going to shut us up? Not going to happen. Okay? Just announced we're the 47th largest podcast in the globe. Right? And part of that is through our partners. We know G News and GTV. We have a massive Chinese audience. Why is that? Why is that? Because we have allowed the diaspora of men and women who breathe for freedom are prepared to fight for it. Look in Hong Kong today. They got rid of all the guys. The pro-democracy guys had to step aside. They're about to be crushed. Right? CCP knows how to play Smash Mouth. Democratic Party knows how to play Smash Mouth. Well, I tell you who else can play Smash Mouth? The deplorables. We're not backing down an inch. We're not backing down an inch. We're closing on victory. We don't care if you don't like it. We don't care if you're going to threaten people's jobs. We don't care. Because Donald J. Trump is raising his hand at high noon on the 20th of January, the year of our Lord, 2021. Book your suites now. Book it. Right? And say War Room sent you. Because it's happening. Everybody out there, everybody in the Donald and all that, it's happening. It's rolling on multiple fronts, and they don't want to deal with any of it. It's happening. Okay? You don't see them covering Arizona. They're not covering the recount in Georgia. They don't want to cover that. They don't want to cover the lawsuit. There's total crickets on the lawsuit from the Great Lakes Justice Center. Why? He had evidence. He had the receipts. Right? Didn't want to cover that. You're not going to get away. Not covering stuff in deplatform doesn't work. Doesn't work. Okay? I want to go now. When you get about, yeah, go ahead.
Just if you tell a hotel firm in D.C. that War Room sent you, it's what we call an anti-discount. You actually, your room costs you double.
You won't get a room. That's why I can say book your suite, send War Room, get you. You won't get a room. First off, you wouldn't get a room during normal times. I said, oh, my God, the pirates are here. Right? You got to take the okay, I want to turn now to the new federal state. These are people, these are part of the whistleblower movement, spun off the whistleblower movement from Miles Guo and the team. But these are folks that are fighting for their freedom to essentially replace the Chinese Communist Party and give the people of China rule of law, freedom, democracy. They're incredibly brave. They've been all throughout the globe. Here's the reason we're having them on. They call us the other day and they go, hey, we're going to the rally. Remember, they went with Jack Maxey. They were outside the Chinese consulate in July. It was like a 90 degrees.
The embassy.
Embassy. And they're sitting there telling the guys, you're lying. CCP lied. The CCP virus. They're talking about it. They go over to Black Lives Matter Plaza, and they're handing out cold waters for the police. Police have been spit on, torched. These people are the most decent, hardworking. They're the deplorables of China. Lao Baijing, old 100 names, right? I now want to bring on Alice. And so, Alice, you're going to be here. You bring a big contingent of people that are going to come and be part of this rally on Saturday from the new federal state to show the support. Talk to us about, though, I want to know from you, how the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, how do you think that they're active in their irregular warfare, unrestricted warfare, in the situation we have going on in the United States right now?
Hello, Mr. Bannon. Thanks for bringing me in. This election has attracted attention from all over the world. America is viewed the last stand of freedom on this planet. So we, 1.4 billion Chinese, are watching this election closely. We have never voted in life, and CCP is not elected, so they cannot represent the 1.4 billion Chinese. And we follow Miles, we set up the new federal state of China. We're pursuing freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. So we support a fair election and the legal votes. And we have to fight. As you said, it's not a fight of any person or any party. This is a fight of American patriots. This is also the fight of Chinese patriots. Why? The hard drive from hell shows that Biden is 100% owned by CCP. If Biden wins, it will be lose-lose for American deplorables and Chinese deplorables. Biden is a good example of CCP's infiltration in America, the blue, gold, yellow program. Dr. Yang talked about the CCP virus. That's unrestricted bioweapon. And look at the information warfare. This is also the part of the unrestricted warfare. Mainstream media, it's fake news. It's misleading. CCP is behind this. Who is the real owner of CNN and the New York Times? It's Beijing Gehua CATV. So we want Americans to know this. And social media, look at the Twitter. It's large scale of account suspension and the content blockage. Fei-Fei Li, she's representing CCP. She is a board member of Twitter. And have you heard of the blacklist? They want to track Trump supporters. This is just the CCP style. And economic warfare. President Trump talked about the trade deals. I want to talk about the Wall Street stock market.
Hang on, Alice, hang on for a second. Go back. Ty, how do you, because people are going to sit there and go, hey, you're throwing out one conspiracy theory after the next. It all sounds great, but you can't, how do you back it up? Let's just start with, before I get to CNN and all that, let's start with the bioweapon. I know Dr. Yan's had her paper. She argues one thing, but how do you back up that it just wasn't an experiment gone awry, or it came out of the wet market? How do you say it's a bioweapon?
First, they covered up in the beginning. Second, it's leashed onto the world directly because the science proved if it's a natural disease or virus, it wouldn't spread so widely and for so long. Usually, it takes a couple of generations. The virus will live with the human bodies, like coexist more peacefully. It wouldn't be so serious. And there is the D614G. That's another new variant, a threat from person to person, even 10 times faster. And Dr. Yan's report has all the evidence.
How many people from the new federal state? We got to bounce here in about 30 seconds. How big an entourage are you bringing down to this rally that's going to take place on Saturday?
We'll have hundreds where people are still signing up.
That's fantastic. We look forward to seeing you down here. Alice, thank you so much for joining us today on War Room Pandemic. A contingent, at least 100, coming down from various states to be part of this. If this thing catches on, this could be a big rally. At first, I didn't think much was going to happen, but it looks like they, particularly since Eventbrite tried to stop it. That's when my phone started blowing up. That really got people upset. Okay, we'll be back in a second with we're sending Maggie off down to she's going down to Atlanta. She's going to Georgia, blow it up like John Fredericks. It's Vandenberg and Fredericks marching through Georgia, right? So, and Raheem, we're going to tie all the loose ends. I want to talk more about your analytics and what's going on at National Pulse. No, Jack Maxey's got some observations on Brennan and what we should be doing about classified documents in the last couple weeks. The long march through our institutions that the Chinese Communist Party has taken is not just Wall Street. It's not just the City of London. It's just not our corporations. It's just not the politicians they own. It's also our cultural institutions. It's our great universities. It's the great opera houses and museums. But one of the things that's dearest to everybody is the church. And remember, in China today, the underground evangelicals in the underground Catholic Church are the two of the most robust institutions that are fighting back and fighting for the freedom of the Chinese people. The Catholic Church, the official Catholic Church, or the one that Pope Francis controls, or is the Pope of, has sold out the Chinese people to the Chinese Communist Party with a secret deal, of which, you know, we've said, hey, they took money for it. They've never denied that. We made that accusation months and months and months ago. They failed to come back on that. Part of that, the guy that did it is one of the most evil individuals in the history of the United States, and particularly modern times. That would be Mr. McCarrick. He was the cardinal. He was kind of the Pope of the United States. He was a cardinal in Washington, D.C. He was a power broker, really, in the Democratic Party for many, many decades. Quite close to, guess who? Yep, Joe Biden. And just a totally evil guy. And now there's just random, you know, there are no coincidences. This report really puts the blame on Archbishop Vigano, who has been this magnificent theoretician to walk through what's exactly happening in the world in these letters he sends to President Trump and to the American people. We have Liz Yore on, the investigative reporter and former prosecutor, one of the toughest individuals out there, hard-headed and clear-eyed. Liz, walk us through. We're going to have you on later in today and show and other days to go through in depth this report, because particularly tied back to the CCP. But I had to get you on just because of both what they say about Vigano, and they try to blame him, and also the fact that the KGB, to show the KGB actually approached, I think, McCarrick in the 70s or 80s to be an agent. Can you go through both of those?
Sure. This Vatican report, which we've been waiting for 2 years, is a classic Francis move. It is a score-settling, crass whitewash of his efforts to cover up. And what's very troubling is he puts the blame on Vigano. It's not surprising to those of us who have studied and followed Francis that he would do that. In fact, Vigano already commented that this should be the Vigano report, but more will follow with respect to that. But as somebody who studies Francis, I know to look at, and lawyers know to look at, footnotes. And in the footnote on page 34, it discloses that in the early 1980s, the KGB operatives in the UN, in the Russian embassy, approached Ted McCarrick to deal with him as a possible witness, expert, colluder with the Soviets. It went on for several years, and because the FBI was following this high-level operative from the KGB who was meeting with McCarrick, the FBI approached McCarrick and asked McCarrick to serve as a counterintelligence asset. So this is high-stakes espionage, and you know, in my opinion, studying the Venona paper, Steve, this message went from Moscow to the Soviet embassy in the United States to reach out to Ted McCarrick, because they knew that he was a trusted asset. He would be friendly to the communists. And is it any surprise that he did the bidding of the Obama administration with the Cuba deal, and he did the bidding of the Vatican in the China deal, the Chinese communists? This is a man who is favorable to the communist governments. And as a result of all this, I think there's a much deeper story that's going to be uncovered with respect to Ted McCarrick. And who was one of his first calls in the Obama administration in 2009? None other than Vice President-elect Joe Biden. And you know, communists know that sexual predators, just ask Hunter Biden and Ted McCarrick, are very easily compromised and blackmailed and bought off. And that's why they use sexual predators to do their bidding.
Liz, we're going to get back to you. Liz, put your Twitter handle up there. Thank you very much. We'll get back to you. This story has got to have depth, because the tying together of the deep state and the deep church is Vigano's.
And liberation theology, a wholly owned, yes, created, yes, philosophy of the Soviet Union, 100%. Undermine our church.
Plus, good men, goodbye, good men, the whole book or there, the whole analysis of what the KGB did for years to destroy the Catholic Church. Maggie, you're going down to Georgia. You're going to try to interview the two Senate candidates the next couple of days.
Yep.
What else are you looking at down in Georgia?
Yeah, going to get in touch with John Roberts and John Frederick, excuse me. And just going to do some work down there. I got invited to an influencer event. This is going to be some of the biggest Second Amendment influencers in the country coming together. Apparently, this is an annual event, but this year is even more important.
Can you get into your Instagram? Are you still locked out?
I'm still locked out of my Instagram.
And they have not given you a reason for that?
No, but I'm working on it. I'm trying to do everything I can to try to figure this out.
Raheem, 3 o'clock. Today, National Pulse.
We'll be going through more of this data, and Steve Cortez will be joining us as well on the program this afternoon. Look, you wouldn't think of it to watch the television, to pick up a newspaper this morning. You look at the front page of the New York Times, which they're all holding up this morning. I don't know if you saw that. Here are six people from across these six battleground states who say there's no problem with voter fraud. They just so happen to be quoting six people who are deeply tied with the political establishment and the way things have been run in those states for years and years. So we'll be going through more of that. There's plenty to come. Seeing what's happening in Georgia, seeing what's happening with the lawsuits being filed in Michigan. Michigan. We'll bring you the latest
in Arizona. You've got Jack Maxey. You're taking on Brennan in the evening show today.
We're going to be taking on the entire intelligence establishment because, ladies and gentlemen, there is no possible way they knew that Carrick was meeting with the FBI in the 1980s. And the Bidens,
KGB.
The KGB, and the Bidens
that
were
FBI.
Getting millions and millions of dollars from the CCP.
Yeah, didn't know that. The great intelligence apparatus we have. Sam Faddis, got to read his book, The Decline and Fall of the Central Intelligence Agency. Okay, we've got an evening show, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., going to be packed with information as news breaks throughout the day. This is game on. And for all of our audience, just remember, it's happening. Okay, this is we're on a roll now. And the reason we're on a roll, you don't see Biden having daily briefings, right? They don't be answering any hard, not that the media would ask him a hard question, but in case they got asked a hard question, either about them being compromised by the Chinese Communist Party or the fact that they attempted to steal this election. Remember, it's still an attempted steal. It's only a steal if we let them steal it. It's not stop the steal, it's crush the steal. Be back at 5 o'clock with the team.